For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. He does not make money off the site, but he does need money in order to run the site. Those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
I'm glad you're all here. Welcome back to those who were here last week. Welcome to those who are coming for the first time. Okay, so we'll continue with the forum. I got a few comments about the way we did it with the half and half. We'll do it for a week or two more, and I'm open to more comments as far as splitting up the halacha with the chumash part. But let's continue that for now. So the piece from this week's parasha is a beautiful morale on one of the most difficult phrases we find in the interactions between Avraham and Sarah. Towards the beginning of the parasha, Avraham and Sarai at this point still make it for the first time to Eretz Yisrael. And right away there is a Ra'av Ba'aretz, a famine hits the land, and they go down to Mitzrayim. And the Torah therefore tells us on the way down, Avram says to Sarah, Hineno Yadati, now I know that you're a beautiful woman. Rashi goes through three explanations as to why it was just now that he knew, whether or not he actually saw her for the first time in her beauty, or whether or not now was the time that he needed to be afraid because of her beauty. Be that as it may, that's not for us tonight. I know you're beautiful. The people that we're going to are going to see you. And says Avraham, they're going to say, Ishto zos v'hargu osi v'osoch yichayu. They're going to realize, we are married, they're going to kill me, and you are going to live. And therefore, Avraham needs a plan in order to avoid death by the hands of the Egyptian mob, and he comes up with the following plan, which would be perfect if not for one phrase. Imri na pasuk yigimeli says, Achosiat. So just say that you are my sister. I'll say you're my sister. You'll say you're my brother. I'm your brother. Everything will be great. V'chaysa nafshi biglalech. And I'll live because of you on that account. That would be perfect if he said that. Except that I skipped the phrase, if you notice inside. He says, Imrina achosiat. Say that you are my sister. Liman yitavli v'avurech. That it should be good for me because of you. And I'll live. Now that phrase is problematic. To say I'm afraid I'm going to die, to say that I'm afraid they're going to kill me and take you, so therefore say that you're my sister, so that I'll live, that makes sense. But he adds, Liman yitavli ba'avurech, that it should be good. Rashi says, what does he mean? Yitnu li matanos. They'll give me gifts. There, Avraham Avinu, on the way down to Mitzrayim. I'm afraid I'm going to die. So instead of dying, say that you're my sister. I'll get a lot of good presents out of this. And I'll live. Just hard to understand. What does he mean? What does Rashi? L'man yitavli? She got gifts? Ramban, when he reads this pasuk, he doesn't go through this, but he basically says, it can't mean that. So he has a whole difficult understanding of what it means, but it can't mean what Rashi says. But that's what Rashi understands it. L'man yitavli b'avrech, I should get gifts out of this. Morale, we're going to see tonight, is going to give us an approach what Avraham meant when he says, do this for me so that I should get gifts. Can you just pass this so I can get back in here? Says on the left-hand side of the page, Yitnu li matanos, we're going to start from the first underline. This is the appetizer question. Now there's two questions we're going to go through. The appetizer question is as follows. Zim toimar, the Avraham loma kabel matanos. First problem is Avraham accepting a gift at all. Forget about how he can say this. Would Avraham accept a gift? Havo ksiv sone matanos yichya. Shlomo Melech teaches us in Sefer Mishlei, sone matanos yichya. You have to hate gifts. Person who wants life, chayim, is being self-sufficient. It's coming from within oneself, not looking for handouts. We all like handouts. It's nice. It's easy. But yichya, if you want to live, it's from within oneself. A sone matanos yichya. Frakta maral. How could Avram take a gift? V'od Avram atzmo amar imichut atzoich na'al. Later on in the parasha, when the Melech Stone, after the war of the four kings and the five kings, wants to give Avram all sorts of gifts, and Avram says, absolutely not. The Ribbono Shel Olam promised me that I'm going to become wealthy. I will become wealthy from him, not from anybody. So I don't want anything. So ask the Maral, what's he accepting gifts at all? The Maral says this, just giving down to the bottom line, This question, this appetizer question, we can answer, as I'm going to explain later. He says, Avram didn't want to take later in the parasha from the Melech stone because he was giving him a gift because of something that Avram did. Avram saved him. I want to pay you back. Hashem promised me he's going to make me wealthy. So if Hashem promises me he's going to make me wealthy, I don't want it from you. I don't want it to be that you made me wealthy. Hashem said he's going to make me wealthy, and you're only giving this to me in payment for something. But here, where Paros would give him the gifts on his own as a kavod, that would be within the klal, that would be within, I've given you blessings, Hashem says, and therefore Avram would take here from Paro, because it's a kavod to him, but he wouldn't take as a payment for the war. Donei matanos yichya, Morel doesn't address, why does Avram want to take any gifts? He's going to address that in his next answer. Okay, so the Morel's bothered at first by that he's taking gifts at all, but then it gets to the real meat and potatoes of our discussion. What does it mean that Avram says to Sarah, I'm afraid of death. So say that you're my sister, so I should get gifts. What does he mean? Ask the Morel, Od Kasha, Shamar le Ishto Shetoymer Achihu, he says to his wife that she should say that I am his brother, her brother, Kadesh Yitnu Lo Matanos. How do you do that? Morel explains as follows, one word of background before we get to him. Says the Morel, there are two categories of people that Avram was afraid of. You have the upper class of Mitzrayim. He was afraid of them. And he was afraid of the lower class, the dregs of society, the people on the streets, the low class, the low life. Two different concerns as to what were they going to do when they saw someone like Sarah. He was afraid the upper class might want her as a wife. They wouldn't kill him, though, for it. That's a low class kind of thing to do. But on the way to the palace, on the way into the big city, you're going to pass all of the, so to speak, the slums of Mitzrayim. And there he's going to walk through these low-income, dreg-of-society neighborhoods, and he's going to be walking with this beautiful woman. And there he was afraid, those people, they're just going to take me out and take you. How do I protect myself from that? So the Morel suggests Avram came up with an idea which has such ramifications for us. Says the Morel, let's read it inside. V'nira, she'avram hayon misyore ki pritzei hador, the dregs of society, yahargu oso al dvarishto. They were just going to kill him. He was going to walk through those neighborhoods that all of us are afraid to walk through. Most beautiful woman they've ever seen. They're just going to knock him off. Ki yosehi, she's beautiful. V'kach omar imri li'achoy si'at. Therefore, he says to her, you need to say that you're my sister. The chashuvim in the Medina, the upper class of Mitzrayim, they're not going to grab you. That's not how the upper class function. They're not going to take you. They're not going to kidnap you. She'ein adam chashuv osakein. That's not how nobility acts. Adarabba, says the Maral, hachashuvim, they're going to come to me with kavod. They're going to come to me and try to win you over. How are they going to win you? You win the brother. They're going to try to prove to me how important they are. They're going to think, again, the upper class are going to think, he who can prove that he's the most worthy, that he's the most noble, that he's the most wealthy, that he's the most upper class, I will give you, as your brother, to them in marriage. That's how the upper class is going to function. And then how is that going to look? So I'm going to walk into town, and all the chashuvim are going to come, they're going to bring gifts, they're going to try to prove to me how noble they are, how chashuv they are. And then, says the Maral, then the lower class in society are going to see how I'm treated by the upper class. And when the lower class sees that when I walk through town, the upper class come out and try to win me over, then they won't do anything to me. Who do the lower class attack? Somebody who's a nobody. So somebody who they don't have to worry will be any ramifications. Somebody who, they're not afraid there's going to be this big investigation and all of a sudden they're all going to be, the police officers coming in, everybody asking questions. If it's a nobody, so they see a beautiful woman walking with her, they'll knock him off, they'll take what they want. All of a sudden they see, wait a minute, this person walking with that beautiful woman, look at all the chashuvim coming out of their apartments, coming down to greet them, to try to win her over, by winning over her brother. Stay away from them. Even the lower class, says the Maral, recognize ein derech lasos ra l'chashuv. Somebody who's chashuv, somebody who's significant, somebody of nobility, even the lower class will stay away. So we'll see in a second, he's going to tie it only. So therefore, says the Maral, just tying it up now to get to his next point. So Avram says, say that you're my sister, so that I will get gifts from the wealthy, so that I won't be killed by the poor. Because when the poor see the wealthy giving me gifts, they'll know I'm somebody chashuv. Now, the Maral thinks, this is a fascinating idea, that the people respond to the way we are perceived. Maral brings a fascinating proof to this. There's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah. And today, we live in America, things are great here, pretty much safe in most neighborhoods. There was a time in our history where a Jew would not be caught getting a haircut from a non-Jew. Not because he was afraid of a bad haircut, because he was afraid for his life. Because all of a sudden, with a pair of scissors or a razor in the guy's hand, whoops. So the Chazal actually spoke about in Mishnayos. The Mishnayos and Masechet Avodah Zarah discuss the laws of a Jew getting a haircut from a guy. Only in public places, never allowed in a private place, because it was physically dangerous. And the Mishnah says, what should a Jew do if he finds himself in the presence, getting a haircut from a non-Jew, and there's nobody around? What should he do? The Mishnah, Masechet Avodah Zarah, Mishnah says, he should look in the mirror. Use the mirror, says the Mishnah. Why should he use the mirror? Some of the Mefarshei Mishnah learned from here that a man's not allowed to look in a mirror, that it was only because of danger that it was permitted. Looking in a mirror is a womanly thing, and a man's not allowed to look in a mirror. Not everyone learns that. Rashi learns a little differently. Rashi learns, look in the mirror and act like those people, if you've ever seen the Bible, like they drive you crazy, like, no, you missed a spot over here. No, not, can you take off another eighth of an inch from over there? Do that, says Rashi. Look in the mirror and be medakdek about everything. Explains the Gemara, because you look like a chashuv. Chashuvim are particular. They're like, not everyone looks in the mirror. You can imagine what it's like in the Mishnayos times getting a haircut, whatever. You got a haircut once every 3-4 months, whatever. I'm stuck. I got a guy with a razor behind me. There's non-Jews cutting my hair. I'm afraid for my life. What should I do? Says the Mishnah. Act like you are the most chashuv Jew in the world. Look in the mirror. Make sure he gets it right. Because when this non-Jew sees, oh, this isn't just a low-life Jew. This is a chashuv. Says the Mishnah, you'll be protected. He'll be protected because he's going to be afraid. I slit this guy's throat. People are going to notice that he's missing. People are going to take note. People are going to take note. Where is he? It's going to be a big deal. It's not worth it for me. So the Maral brings this Gemara as a proof. That's what Avram was doing. He was establishing himself as a chashuv. How do I do that? You're my sister. The upper class will come to me with gifts. I receive the gifts. The lower class sees me being dealt with in a certain way, and I will be protected. And in so doing, says the Maral, the chayso nafshi b'golech. Now I'll live because of the gifts that I got. As the Maral says, he brings the proof, mipreza amrim, like 6 lines from the bottom, sham mistaper min hagoy yeroya b'mara. He was getting a haircut from a non-Jew, should look in a mirror. She anire choshev. That makes him appear like he's choshev lo yazik lo hagoy, and he won't be hurt by the non-Jew. Says the Maral, this explains how Avram allowed Surah to be taken to Paro. How is it permitted for Avram Avinu to allow his wife to be taken to Paro? Says the Maral, Avram chashuv ki apritzim v'apchusim osim zeh laharog al dvar yishlah. He was afraid again of the lower class; they were going to kill him for his wife. Chashuv v'meinim osim zeh, but the upper class wouldn't do something like that. V'atah kishiyeh nechshav v'ena chashuvim, when he would be considered amongst the upper class, l'shloch lo matanos v'chavdu oso, and they'll honor him. Gam apchusim yayirim, they'll be afraid of him. V'lo chashuv Avram ki amelech porit v'gad. Avram didn't think that power would actually, the king himself would take her, but he did. But anyway, he concludes, v'hashlo hayadaito al matanos, his intention was never to receive gifts. Rakshiyeh needs just that he should be saved, as the pasuk says, "Lemanita v'libavurech v'chaisa nafshi v'glalech." I want the gift so that I should be established as a certain personality type, and then I will be saved. The Sefer Achinuch, when he discusses all the mitzvahs in Korban Pesach, there are many, many, many mitzvahs. I think there are 15 or 16 different mitzvahs, all related to the Korban Pesach. You have to have it specifically roasted; can't be half cooked. It can't be taken from one home to another home. There can't be any leftovers. You can't break a bone. So the Sefer Chinuch writes in all of these, on Leil Seder we became B'nei Chorin. Became free, we became B'nei Malachim. Like kings. Kings eat in a certain way. They don't have leftovers. They don't. No such thing. They don't serve leftovers in the palace. Kings also only have roasted meat. Because roasted meat is higher quality than cooked meat. They have roasted meat. And you can't break a bone. Because you break a bone when you're famished and you're hungry and you're devouring your meat. But if you have to eat it carefully, not to break a bone, you eat it like a king. And you don't take food from one place to another place. That's, you know, the potluck dinner, that's something that we do. Kings don't do that. Sefer Chinuch says, on a night when you establish yourself as a king, you act like a king. When you act like a king, you become a king. Because when you convey a message as to who I am, the world around us relates to us the way we relate to ourselves. We relate to our environments. We do that. You're going home, just taking an example, you're going home from baseball, you take the kids or yourself on a Sunday afternoon and you're walking out of the park. And as you're walking out, the streets are littered with cups and sunflower seeds and beer cans. It's disgusting, the floor. And as you're reaching into your pocket for your car keys, a tissue falls out. Do you reach down and pick up that tissue that fell on the ground? I don't know, maybe you would. I think most people would look at the environment that they're in. They would look at the filth. They would look at what's on the floor. Alright, I wouldn't throw my tissues on the floor, but if one fell out, it's almost silly. I'm going to bend down and pick up my tissue. Look at the floor, it's gross. You walk into the Museum of Natural History. Pristine floors. Sparkling. You could see your reflection on the marble floor, and you reach into your pocket to get your keys and a tissue falls out. You pick it up? Of course you pick it up. Look at the environment. I relate to that. I respond to that. In an environment where things are clean, things are neat, I respond to that in the same way as people respond to me based on who I am. Revolva writes that everything in life has a value. Everything in life. You could sell a cup of water, you could sell a table, a chair, a house. You could put a monetary value on it. In spirituality, you can't put a monetary value on things. So how do you value it? How do you know what's more valuable than something else? The Rav Olber writes, it's the kavod you give it. You want to know how much you value something? How much kavod you give it. How much kavod does it give off is how much value it has. We measure it by its kavod. And we respond to those things. We relate to kavod, we relate to that, it's a value. Just like we relate to expensive stuff because of the price tag, we relate to people and things because of the kavod that's attributed to it. Morale says, when we treat ourselves with kavod, so then the world around us responds to us that way. Because that's how it works. Avram understood that very well. Avram said, I'm afraid, I need to establish myself as a chashuv. I need to. Because when I establish myself as a chashuv, then others will relate to me that way also. The last thing in the world that I would say to a bunch of women who are willing to come out at 8:45 on a Tuesday night is that you can never leave your house if you're not totally dressed to the nines, and your house has to be immaculate and sparkling always. And I'm not saying that. But the way that we relate to ourselves sends a message how others relate to us also. We can't demand more from our family, our husband, our children at home about how neat they are, more than we demand it of ourselves. How neat things are, how orderly things are. There's a message we give off in everything that we do in terms of, and others simply relate and respond to that. And the Ra'al says that we learn from Avram. Avram understand the manitav li ba'avurech. They should do good for me because of you. V'yitnu li matanos, Rashi says. Give me gifts. I'm establishing myself of a certain type, and when I'm established that way, everyone around me will respond to me as such. So says the Maral. Okay, that's the Chumash part.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.